A redhead named Heaven sits on the porch of a rundown cottage. Neshama Releasing presents a Really Real Films and Neshama Entertainment production. She pulls a photograph from her suit jacket pocket. She strokes the image of her with a man named Troy on a beach. She remembers Troy making love to her in a candlelit room. Then she remembers laying a wreath of flowers by the sea with tears in her eyes. She holds the print and stares off. Then she pockets the photo and stands in her skirt and knee-high boots. Title, V.C. Andrews, Fallen Hearts. She opens the screen door and goes inside. She carries a plate of food to the table.
Morning, Grandpa.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Hope you're hungry. I made your favorite.
Silly Heaven, you forgot to bring Grandma Annie her plate.
Are you sure she's hungry today?
They are, aren't you, Annie, darling?
A chair.
Yep.
Grandma Annie was my rock. I miss her something awful, but I think it's time.
Well, she's still here. She's not going nowhere.
A man, Logan, enters.
Looks good.
Oh, God, it's just you.
Yeah, just me.
Ouch.
No, not just like that. I was startled. I thought I was hearing things.
Yeah, like what?
We were just talking about my grandma, and I heard a voice. I don't know.
Well, that's silly. She can't be in two places at once.
Right.
Logan carries flowers.
Well, those are beautiful.
One for you and one for Annie.
Oh, what a thoughtful young man. Don't you think so, Evan?
Quite thoughtful.
Yeah.
And those are quite lovely. Thank you.
So, Logan, you been scooped up yet?
Hey. No, not yet, Mr. Castile. Still available.
She grins.
Well, can I bang up some nails, hang these things up?
Go ahead.
You better be careful about him. He's gonna get snatched up before he hits the front porch.
You stop.
She grabs a bag.
I'm gonna be late for school.
Bye.
Logan hangs flower baskets on the porch as Heaven approaches.
Can I carry the teacher's books to school?
Well, Logan Stonewall, you've used that line on me many, many times before.
Yep, even though it's hardly ever worked.
She offers her leather bag to him.
No, it was because I was ashamed of how poor we were.
No, that wouldn't have changed how I felt about you.
Well, I was conditioned to believe that the hill folk were the scourge of the town. And back in high school, you seemed to be a fancy town boy.
Did I act that way?
No, you were the exception, then and now.
Well, it's an honor to help Winterow's most popular new teacher make her way to school. And I'm available. Every morning. Yep.
He nods.
Every morning.
They walk a country road.
So, the new Castile Family Circus is coming through town on the weekend. You gonna go?
Do I have a choice? I'm excited to see Tom. That's why I'm going. They've been traveling nonstop.
Logan squints.
Say, you wouldn't need the company of a nice young fellow on Saturday night, would you?
She smiles and considers.
Why? Do you know someone?
Just like the old days. Rebuffed by Heaven again. In all seriousness, I can't stop thinking about you. I know you're the one. I need to know if I have a chance with you despite our complicated past.
She sombers.
You'll always be my first love, Logan Stonewall, but I don't want to rush into anything. Wouldn't want to make the same mistake again.
She smiles, then glances away. That night at the cottage.
Grandma Annie here was just saying she can't wait for the circus tomorrow night.
Oh, that.
Grandpa sits down at the table.
Huh?
He looks at Annie's chair.
Yeah, I know. It took a lot longer than we thought, but eventually he made something of himself. Oh, yeah, Annie. Sure, I've made all the difference. All the difference.
I didn't hear. What made all the difference?
The money that he got for you children. Boy, with that chunk, he went down to Florida and finally made good his dream of buying a circus.
I must have misunderstood her. What children? What money?
Your children. From the families that you went to.
She grits her teeth.
Luke took money for us?
Yeah, for his troubles.
So he split us up far away from each other for money, for his troubles.
Well, your mother was dead, and his wife Sarah just left him, so...
Yeah, because he was a monster. He totally neglected his duties as a father and sold his children?
She paces away, then turns back.
No, he can't just get away with this. He can't live a happy, successful life with a new little family. He has to be punished.
She glances at a framed photo of a bride.
I'm gonna make him believe he's seen a ghost.
Grandpa eyes the portrait of Heaven's mother, Angel.
And I know just how to do it.
A brunette in a flowing white dress walks through circus grounds. She passes a clown with a unicycle. She strides toward tents lit with twinkle lights. She turns, and it is revealed that the bride is Heaven in a dark wig. A young clown notices her. Her eyes search the area. The clown runs toward her and does a little jig.
Hi. I know you're just trying to do your whole routine here, but I'm actually looking for someone.
I'll have a guess. Who are we looking for? Handsome, strapping young man, maybe with,
He grabs his red nose.
Unforgettable eyes?
Her eyes widen.
Tom?
She hugs him.
I didn't even recognize you. Of course I heard your voice, but I didn't see you.
He tips his hat.
Ah, yeah, there you are.
He puts his wig back on.
Yeah, I barely recognize you with that wig and that getup on, but... You know, that smile I can never forget.
So, you're a clown. You're a clown?
Yeah, I'm a clown.
Tom, I'm serious.
I don't know.
I just hate to see your dreams take a backseat to Luke Castile's great idea to invest all of his money into a rundown circus. Especially after what he's done.
I've been trying to tell you, Heaven. He's not like that anymore.
Did you know that he sold us?
Her chest heaves.
He sold his own children.
Tom blinks.
Did you know?
No, I had no idea. That's awful. But you know what? I can believe it. He was terrible back then. But he's completely different now.
So you're just gonna forgive him?
He glances down.
Why is everyone so eager to give Luke Castile a break? I mean, someone has to remind him that being a terrible father and a terrible person has its consequences. He doesn't deserve to be happy.
Is that why you're wearing your mother Angel's old wedding dress? To look like her? To make him lose his mind?
Yeah. Same one she wore when she married him.
If he sees you looking like your mother, who he loved more than anything, you could send him down a very dark path.
That's the plan.
Heaven, please don't do this. I understand why you're still so angry, but please find a way to forgive him for your own sake. Don't torment him or yourself, please.
All the things that happened to us when we were kids. We shouldn't have gone through that. But you're right,
Tom spots something. A lion roars in a cage.
You're right.
Their dad, Luke, opens the cage.
What am I doing?
Luke squints at Heaven.
Angel?
I should go.
Angel?
She turns to see Luke. The lion's gate is open behind him.
Oh, the gate!
My angel.
The lion's escaping!
Tom runs. The lion gets him. Luke holds a rifle. Heaven jolts. Her eyes moisten. She looks to Luke, who lowers the smoking gun. His chest heaves as he observes the scene. Tom lies bloodied on the ground beside the dead lion. Heaven trembles as she cries.
Tom!
Luke backs away.
Tom, it's okay.
She goes to Tom.
Keep your eyes open, Tom.
Bloody claw marks cover his clown makeup.
Forgive. Paul.
He shakes. He looks at her.
No, Tom.
He lays his head down. Then he is still.
No.
She bows her head.
Tom.
She strokes his arm. Her face is wet with tears. Later, Heaven is dressed in black. Guests arrive as she walks up the steps to the Winrow Funeral Home. Inside the warm space, framed photos of Tom sit next to flower arrangements. Heaven makes her way into the space, past guests chatting and holding plates of food. She scans the room and stops when she sees Luke standing with his new family. She looks away. Her lips tremble as he approaches her. She shakes her head.
He was a good man.
Better than you ever were.
She looks away and sniffles.
He was born bitter.
No, this is not my fault.
Luke watches her.
I should have been trying to forgive you.
She gazes at him with teary eyes.
It should have been more like Tom.
Luke embraces her, and her eyes widen. He steps back and shakes his head.
You ever say that?
He gulps.
It's not your fault. Heaven, you were Tom's hero. I should be the one asking you for forgiveness.
Now, would you come? You say hi to Stacy and Drake.
He guides her over and wipes his eyes.
Stacy, you remember Heaven?
Luke's wife.
I'm so sorry about your brother, Heaven. He was a wonderful young man.
Luke crouches down.
And of course, our son, Drake. Drake, do you remember meeting your half-sister, Heaven?
Hello. Nice to meet you again, Miss Heaven.
She kneels beside his chair.
My goodness. You don't have to call me Miss. We are family, after all.
Luke is teary and puts his hand on Heaven's. Heaven's sister, Fanny, struts in with a male companion. He knocks an umbrella stand.
Oops.
Everyone turns.
Sorry.
Well, so much for sneaking in quietly.
She walks in.
Pa, oh, I am so torn up that Tom is gone.
She hugs Luke.
Heaven, this is my boyfriend, Randall. He's rich, aren't you, Randall?
Well, I wouldn't say.
She jerks him.
Yep, rich.
He nods.
We're looking for a place here in Winterell. Together.
Well, congratulations. If you'll excuse me.
Oh, I will not.
She grabs Heaven.
You owe me an explanation. It's been years. You never got back in touch with me. About what? About Darcy? My daughter?
Heaven sets her jaw.
You promised you'd get her back to me from the Reverend. And I went to his house, Fanny.
A man raped me, Heaven, and stole my baby. Did you even offer him the money?
Yes. Yes, I did, but it's not about money.
Fanny touches Heaven's earring.
Everything is about money.
No, no, it's not.
She grabs her hand.
Not to everyone, it isn't, especially where children are concerned. Darcy needs a mother who will put Darcy's needs before her own. Reverend's wife is doing that. Can you honestly say you do the same?
Oh, I see. You don't think I'm good enough to care for my own child. That's low, Heaven, even for you.
How can you say that?
Heaven shakes her head.
I've always been good to you.
I will make sure you pay for the way you treat me.
Fanny spies Logan across the room. She struts toward him.
Oh, it is just all so devastating.
She hugs Logan.
Thank you so much for coming, Logan.
Of course.
Fanny holds him. Heaven watches. Heaven opens a door and paces onto the porch. Logan follows.
Heaven, I'm so sorry. I know that Tom was your rock.
He was my best friend.
Her eyes search his, then she bows her head.
I know I'm not Tom. I know I never will be, but I want to take care of you. I want to comfort you. I love you, Heaven. I've always loved you.
They move closer until their lips meet. Heaven closes her eyes and brings her hand to Logan's cheek. She kisses him. Then they gaze into each other's eyes. The next day, mist sweeps across a lake.
This is really nice.
Inside a barn.
I'd say.
They sit in a hayloft.
I've been thinking about us a lot lately.
She tilts her head back.
How great it is when we're together.
Her curled locks fall on her shoulders.
I know I asked you once if you'd marry me 5 years ago. I know we were in high school, so young, and I don't know if that would have been for better or for worse. But I guess we'll never know, because we can't go back in time.
She smiles brightly.
But I know one thing's for sure.
She draws a breath.
I'm better when I'm with you. So?
He pulls out a velvet ring box.
I'm asking you again.
He gets on one knee.
5 years later.
He opens the box.
Heavensley Van Breen.
She touches her chest.
Will you marry me?
Her lip trembles and she nods.
Yes.
They kiss and she runs her fingers through his hair. She holds out her hand and he places the ring on her finger. They kiss. Later, at the cottage.
Are there any new RSVPs for our wedding party?
She picks up an envelope.
Oh, this one's from Luke.
She grabs a letter opener. She reads it, and her face falls.
He can't make it.
She purses her lips.
His business plans. I mean, that's BS. If the Thomasons can reschedule their entire vacation, don't you think the man who raised me can at least make an effort?
Sorry, Heather.
No wonder little Drake hasn't even responded to the postcards I've sent him. Luke probably didn't even show them to him.
Her face falls. She studies the mail on the table.
Why is there a letter from Tony?
Logan sips from his mug. She frowns at Logan. He watches as she opens the letter.
He says congratulations and... Okay, he regrets that he can't come because Jillian is so ill, but I didn't even invite him.
I mean, I kind of maybe invited him.
Oh, kind of maybe? Logan, why the hell would you do that?
Oh, I just thought they were your grandparents. You might want them in your life.
No, Tony is my step-grandfather.
Well, I know that. I just thought you might want them. Look, why wouldn't you want them in your life?
She gazes straight ahead. Logan looks at her, then at the letter.
Oh, it says here they want to throw us a big party at Farthingale Manor.
I'd rather not go back to Farthy.
Even for a massive party? Just for us? Come on, it'd be fun. We could do it right after our wedding party in the barn.
She mutes a smile.
And we get more gifts.
He raises an eyebrow. Inside the barn, lights are strung up. Heaven skips in a long, flowing white dress, dancing with one guest, then another. Logan watches.
That's my wife.
He wears a brown suit and smiles. Grandpa dances with an imaginary partner. Fanny's boyfriend, Randall, spins her. Logan and Heaven dance together, surrounded by guests.
I'm gonna get some water.
She walks to the bar. Fanny notices. Grandpa joins Heaven.
You're a miracle worker.
He sniffs liquor.
You got the townsfolk and the hill folk all happy together.
He pours.
We never thought we'd see the day.
He pours her one.
What a great day. Hey, Grandma Annie.
Fanny paws Logan. Grandpa watches. Heaven catches him spilling. She wipes up the mess. He takes his drink and Heaven turns to watch Fanny and Logan on the dance floor. Heaven glares. A truck pulls up to Farthingale Manor's gate.
I'm so glad you agreed to come here and let your grandparents throw us a party.
They pass through the open gate.
We'll only stay here a couple days, yeah?
Absolutely.
Logan drives along the interlocking brick driveway toward the house. The words, "Just Married," are painted on the rear window of the truck's cab. Tissue paper streamers tied to the bumper blow in the wind. The truck stops under the mansion's covered entryway, where Tony waits, wearing a suit.
Hey, they are. Earlier than expected. Bit of a lead foot, hey? Man after my own heart.
Logan, this is my step-grandfather, Tony.
Tony Tatterton. Such a pleasure to finally meet you, Logan.
Likewise, sir.
Oh, and my dear Heaven. So lovely to see you back at Farthy.
He embraces her and smells her hair.
I have missed you so.
Her lips tighten.
Come, let me take you on a tour. This way.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
They stand on a balcony.
Croquet lawn is just over there. We usually play in the afternoon. Of course, there's the pool. But if you want to go for a real swim, there's the sea, too. The pathway down is just over there. Now, let me show you where you'll be staying.
They follow.
I've put you two in Heaven's mother's suite. You remember that suite, Heaven? For my money, it's the most beautiful suite in all the Farthingale.
Tony walks ahead and Logan lags behind. Heaven stops to look at the cedar hedge maze. She remembers walking among the cedars with Troy. He kisses her hand. She laughs, then they lean in for a kiss. She stares as Logan approaches.
You okay?
Her back is to him.
Just memories.
She steps away. Logan purses his lips and follows. Inside, Heaven studies black and white photos in an album. She turns the page to find a recent picture of Troy. She strokes the image and looks off.
I miss him too. Terribly. Of course, I blame myself.
She puts the album down.
I know my brother killed himself because of what I did.
I don't want to talk about this with you.
She looks up, avoiding his gaze.
Thank you for coming home.
She turns to him.
This isn't my home. Logan just liked the sound of your little party.
Does he even know who I am? You introduced me as your step-grandfather.
Because you are my step-grandfather.
I'm your biological father.
Yes, and he'll never know that. No one will. Do you want to know why?
Her face contorts.
Because I'm ashamed.
Her chin trembles.
I'm so ashamed of you. I'm ashamed of what you did.
I loved your mother, Heaven. I loved her very much.
She was your stepdaughter.
And you are the product of that love.
Love.
Her brow furrows.
You forced yourself on her. You raped her.
He frowns.
Coming here was a mistake.
I want to be a good father to you. I really do.
Let go of my arm.
She frees her arm and smooths her dress.
Where's my grandmother? She didn't come down to meet us.
Jillian is not well. She doesn't leave her room much. You should go see her. Knowing that you're here might do her some good.
Flames dance in the ornate fireplace as Heaven steps back, then out of the room. Jillian sniffs a gin martini. She wears makeup and a gown.
Mais oui, chérie. Of course I modeled in Paris.
She takes a sip and holds a cigarette. Heaven is at the door.
Oh. How dare you come back here after what you've done?
She turns away.
I think I don't know. You seduced my husband and ruined my marriage.
Oh, no. It's not Lee. It's Heaven.
Jillian stands.
My own teenage daughter. Pushing herself on my husband. Looking at him. I saw it. I saw the way you teased him with that beautiful young body of yours. How could he resist?
No.
She approaches.
It's your granddaughter. It's Heaven. Not Lee. Did you forget?
No, I don't forget.
Jillian turns away and puts her hands in her hair. She turns back to face Heaven and blinks.
Heaven?
Her lips pucker.
When did you get back? Is it the weekend already? How was your week at boarding school, my darling?
Jillian extends her hands to Heaven.
It was good.
Heaven goes to her.
It was really good. I think... want to lie down for a bit?
Yeah. I think I should have a bit of a lie down. You can't have the beauty without the rest.
She touches Heaven's face. Heaven helps her to bed.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Jillian's eyes close.
Thank you.
She leans on Heaven's shoulder. That night, Farthingale is full of party guests.
Oh, hey, are you wearing coattails?
Yeah. Dressed to impress, right?
Impress who?
These people. Shall we?
Heaven steps forward in a frilly green gown.
Good to see you.
Hey, just keep your head on straight. This world tends to suck people in easily.
Don't worry so much, honey.
No, all I'm saying is that people with money aren't necessarily happy. I'm good.
I completely agree.
A waiter carries a tray.
What is this?
Foie gras.
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you.
Logan takes a bite.
I've never had foie gras.
Well, didn't I say it would be spectacular?
Oh, Tony, this is more than spectacular. This is amazing.
Worth a stopover, then.
And how?
Logan, why don't you get us 3 glasses of champagne? We'll kick this party into gear.
Absolutely.
Logan heads off. Tony takes Heaven's hands.
You look spectacular.
Tony leans in and whispers.
This is only the beginning. There's so much more I want to give you if you'll let me.
She winces.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. It simply means the world to us. This is the happiest day of my life. And to be here surrounded by all of our closest friends
Jillian wears a fur over a white dress and holds a glass. Her eyelids droop.
To be here for the marriage. My marriage to the love of my life. Tony Tatterton.
She smiles at him. He frowns and glances around. Heaven watches. Jillian steps closer to Tony and grabs his lapel. Her eyes close as she touches his shoulder.
Oh, Tony, I know that your love will always remain true.
Jillian's eyes open and her gaze falls on Heaven.
And you so willingly take in my daughter Lee as your own.
Jillian runs a finger along the bottom of her glass. Her mouth gapes and she tilts her head back.
Kiss your wife, Tony.
She looks up and swallows.
They all want to see us kiss.
Her eyelids close. He watches her with furrowed brow as she brings her lips to his. She pulls back, then moves in again. Her mouth is on his neck as she hangs on him.
Oh, Tony, darling.
Tony spots a servant.
Would you please?
Oh.
He approaches.
My husband.
Get her out.
The servant helps Jillian out.
Thank you all for coming to our wedding.
Tony brushes off his suit, wet from Jillian's spilled drink. After the party, he joins Heaven and Logan.
Here we are.
No, Tony, I can't. I've had too much already.
Nonsense. One more special one from my private collection.
Liquor.
Now, listen. Tomorrow morning, I must leave you for a work-related meeting. But we must discuss my business proposal upon my return.
Excuse me?
He stops pouring drinks.
Oh, my goodness. Did I neglect to tell you? I recently came across the most charming hand-whittled toys made by the people from where you grew up, Heaven. I believe they're called Willies.
You know about the Willies.
Oh, yes. I think they're charming and unique, and I think they'll be a big hit with a number of my customers. So I'm proposing to build a factory in your hometown of Winnerow so the people there can make them full-time.
That would bring so much work to the Willies. People are desperate for employment there.
Heaven considers.
They are.
And I can think of no one better to oversee and manage operations than the two of you, who already know the area and the people intimately. You two could be co-presidents. What do you say?
She taps her glass.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you two lovebirds discuss this privately. I don't want to put you on the spot.
He stands to go. Tony steps out of the room and Heaven sighs. That night, a satin bedspread reflects the moonlight. Beneath it, Heaven and Logan lie together. He wears an undershirt, and she is in a high-necked nightgown as they kiss. He sits up and gazes into her eyes.
You're amazing.
She strokes his arm.
I love you.
She caresses his ear, then his cheek.
You too.
He leans slowly in to kiss her. She rolls over and holds his arm around her waist. They close their eyes and settle into sleep. She adjusts her head on the pillow. The moon lights up the clouds. There is a silvery tint to the room where Heaven sleeps. She stirs. She appears blurry as she sits up and glances around the room.
Heaven.
Heaven.
Heaven turns to look at a doll on the dresser. She lifts her covers and gets out of bed. She looks back at Logan, who is still sleeping. She steps gingerly toward the window. Her face is illuminated as she gets closer. She touches the sash, then turns back. Her brow furrows as her eyes search the room. She spies a doll.
My love.
A male figure appears.
Joy.
She brings her hands to his face.
Joy.
She steps closer.
I thought I'd lost you.
She looks at his face and her lips part. She closes her eyes as her mouth finds his. They kiss passionately. She backs away with eyes closed. She opens her eyes and he is gone.
Troy, don't leave me again, Troy.
She startles awake. Logan is beside her.
You okay?
She looks at the ceiling.
Yeah, I'm fine.
She meets his gaze.
Sorry.
Logan props himself up on his arm.
You sure?
She looks at his eyes, then his lips. She puts her arms around him and brings him in for a kiss.
I love you.
Her eyes are closed.
And I'll never stop loving you.
She keeps her eyes shut. She holds him close and gazes off in the distance. In the morning, Heaven carries a toiletries bag. She packs it and other small items in her overnight bag.
Hey, what's going on?
Logan is in bed.
We should go back to Winterow.
Now? Is everything okay? Is this about the nightmare you had last night?
No. It's just the honeymoon's over, which was lovely, but we should go find a site for the new factory. And technically we're on the clock, so let's go, Mr. Co-President.
She smiles tightly. He throws back the covers and gets up. Tony enters as they leave.
Tony!
You're home early.
The staff called and told me about your plans. I couldn't bear the idea of you leaving so soon, so I came back. Please, before you go, let me show you something.
Logan nods and Heaven sighs. In the office, Tony unrolls papers.
These are plans to complete the East Wing, your new home. Your second home. I mean, you could split your time between Farthy and Winterow. Best of both worlds, no?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Heaven eyes the papers.
I hope everything looks to be to your liking.
It's huge.
You are as close as I'll ever come to having children.
Heaven stares at him.
We can't accept this, Tony. I really appreciate it, but we're perfectly comfortable staying in my mother's old room. If there is going to be a Tatterton factory in Winterow, we should get started. Right away.
She turns and walks out.
Let's go.
Logan stays.
Logan, bring her back soon. Family is everything. And we are all family now.
Logan nods and glances at the plans.
Bye, Tony.
Tony sighs. Back in Winterow, Heaven meets with a construction foreman at the building site.
And this is the new larger break room that you asked for. The workers will be quite happy with it, Mrs. Stonewall.
Great. And we mustn't forget they're the inspiration for this factory. It's not about the money, it's about the people, too.
Of course, ma'am. With your approval, I could have the construction crew start first thing in the morning.
Approved.
Okay.
They shake hands and he gathers up his plans. She turns and looks at the old building and a sign that reads, Future Home of Tatterton Toys. Back at her cottage. Heaven gets out of her car. She walks toward the front steps and notices a blue sports car parked nearby. She looks in through the screen door and scowls.
Stop! You devil! What are you doing?
Please, what? You dirty dog.
Just do what you have to do and leave.
Heaven storms in.
Fanny? What the hell are you doing half-naked in our bedroom?
She said her plumbing was out, and she came over here to shower.
How was I supposed to know y'all were back in town? You don't tell me nothing. Logan, would you please step outside while I talk to my sister?
Fanny is wrapped in a towel. She grabs Logan's shoulder as he walks past. Logan shudders.
Why are you trying to seduce my husband?
Oh, I never... Heaven, I have a boyfriend who keeps me quite satisfied, I might add.
Is it even possible for you to speak without lying?
Oh. Well, you would know all about lying, wouldn't you, sis? Telling me you would help me in the doing sweet nothing for years? You know, come to think of it, I guess you would know all about seduction, too. You're hardly an angel.
Why? Why are you always so mad at me?
Because you always try to leave me behind.
Leave you behind?
Heaven's chin puckers.
When all I've ever done is try to take care of you?
Take care of me? Is that what you call it? You left me, Heavenly, after you swore you would look after me.
You stood by and watched and let Pa sell me to that lustful reverend, and then you go and live like a queen with your fancy rich relatives, and then you go and say the most awful thing to me, that I wouldn't make a good mother to my own child. Well, money has changed you.
Heaven looks away and shakes her head.
No, that is not true.
Fanny turns and steps back toward Heaven.
You know, actually, I do want to confess one little thing.
She comes closer.
It's true. I find Logan attractive. I always have. And he sure was enjoying my little show before he heard your car pull up. The truth is, I asked him to get me a towel. And he said, why don't you come over here and get it yourself?
Heaven winces, then strides to the front door.
But is that it? Are we done chatting now?
Heaven blows past Logan.
Hey, where are you going?
He follows her.
Heaven!
She walks briskly through the yard.
Heaven!
He catches up to her.
Heaven!
He starts to run.
Logan, just leave me alone, please.
Where are you going?
I don't know. I don't know where I belong anymore.
With me. You belong with me.
How could you betray
Heaven.
Me?
Nothing happened. Heaven, look at me. You know me, and you know Fanny. She's incapable of telling the truth. Nothing happened, I swear. All right, we can go. We can go back to Farley, but we're doing it together. Because you're my wife, and I love you.
She trembles and shakes her head as he holds her shoulders. He leans in closer, and their lips meet. She steps back, then his mouth finds hers. They throw their arms around each other. Later, they report to Tony at Farthingale.
The crew is working doubly hard because they're so excited about the factory.
We're thinking 15 toy makers to start and 15 support staff.
My, you two are making me look like a genius.
He holds papers.
Nice work.
He finishes reading.
Logan, I feel like you should head back down right away to oversee the project, make sure there aren't any hiccups.
Absolutely.
And Heaven, I was hoping you might stay.
Oh?
Jillian has gotten worse since the party. Every time she sees me, she has another episode. I was thinking maybe if there was another family member here to help the nurse, we might be able to calm her back down. She does love you very much.
Heaven gazes off.
So, Heaven, will you stay on? For your grandmother?
She looks down and then at Logan, who nods.
Okay, I'll stay.
Jillian's eyes are closed as Heaven strokes her blonde hair.
It's yours now.
Jillian's head is in Heaven's lap.
What is?
They sit on a bed.
The sickness.
Heaven's hand stops.
What sickness?
Sickness that my mother gave to me and I gave to your mother, Lee.
Jillian, what are you talking about?
That constant fire burning inside, that heat. That burning heat, always the desire. Listen to me. Listen to me, woman, child. I know from experience, the more you try to run away from it, the harder it will chase you.
Heaven walks outside.
The fire inside of your body will burn you alive if you don't give in to it.
With Farthingale towering behind her, Heaven stares at the hedge maze. She glances over her shoulder, then steps toward it. Cedar branches brush her as she steps through. A wall of emerald green shrubbery surrounds her as she steps deeper into the maze. She checks behind her and walks on. She stops and listens. She spins around and heads back the way she came. She watches carefully as she treads on the mulchy ground.
Hey!
She spots a moving figure and runs after it, but loses it.
Hey!
She turns a corner and searches for the person, but sees only green. She heads off in a new direction. A wall of green stops her. She tries a new way, another dead end. Then she stops and glances around. She retraces her steps. Her brow knits with concern as she eyes the hedge surrounding her.
Evan.
She heaves a sigh, then slowly turns around. Troy stands before her, wearing a leather jacket.
Troy?
They take slow steps toward each other. Her chest heaves as she studies his face.
Can't be.
He nods.
It is.
He is somber. She trembles as her eyes search his.
You faked your own death! What the hell?
Believe me, Heaven, tearing myself away from you, that was the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life. But I knew that it was right. Tony is my brother. He is your father.
Stop.
I am your uncle, your blood relative.
I don't want to hear this.
But you must! You really must!
They face one another inside his dimly lit cottage.
It's been so hard to be away from you.
I thought you killed yourself. Don't you know what that did to me?
He steps toward her.
I missed you.
And I've missed you too.
They step closer.
Every day.
I haven't been able to stop thinking about you even for a moment. When I heard you were back in Farthy, I couldn't help myself. I had to catch a glimpse of you again. And I thought that maybe if I could just be near you, then maybe it would be enough.
They are close enough to touch. She leans into him and their lips meet. She pulls back from him with closed eyes and heavy breath.
Is that enough?
His gaze intensifies and they clamor for each other. They embrace tightly and kiss passionately as they fumble to the chaise. She lies back with him on top of her. The next morning...
I'll never forget last night.
She smiles as she sits at the end of the bed, fully dressed.
But I'm married.
A shirtless Troy listens.
I'm married to Logan, and...
She faces away from him.
We're happy.
Troy inhales sharply as he leans against the headboard.
We have to be stronger.
He draws a breath.
Goodbye, Troy.
He watches her from behind.
Goodbye, Evan.
She closes her eyes and shakes her head.
I'm sorry.
She stands and goes. Troy closes his eyes. Back at the main house, Heaven lets herself in through the front door. She takes a few steps in, past a table with flowers, and looks around.
No! Someone come quickly! Help! Help!
Heaven sprints up the stairs. She finds Jillian lying unconscious on the floor and a servant standing over her.
Call an ambulance. Call an ambulance!
The servant goes.
Where are you, Tony?
Spilled pills and empty pill bottles litter the floor and vanity. Heaven picks one up and reads it.
Oh, Jillian.
She drops the pill bottle. Jillian holds an empty martini glass.
Oh, my God, Jillian. What have you done? Troy? Troy!
She steps inside Troy's cottage and glances around. She finds a letter on his desk. She picks it up and reads it.
My dear forbidden love, last night feels like a dream. I will never forget it. But as last night proved, we simply cannot be together without needing more. We will never see each other again. But you will always be with me, and I will always love you. Forever. Troy.
Misty clouds dance above lush treetops. Sunlight streams into a dark forest, illuminating the fern-covered ground. At Heaven's cottage, she pulls on oven mitts and opens the oven door. She pulls out a roaster, closes the door, then removes the lid and leans over it.
Perfect timing, darling.
Well, I have a gift for Tammy, what can I say?
Fanny, what are you doing here?
Well, hello to you too, dear sister. Long time no see. My condolences about your fancy grandma. I hope the funeral was a sufficiently classy affair.
So sad, really, you know?
Fanny smirks and holds her hand on her hip.
I'm sorry to barge in on whatever you got going on here, but I won't be long. I just came to tell you don't have to worry about going back to the Reverend for my baby anymore. Not that you were ever actually gonna.
Heaven steps toward her and smiles.
Okay. Well, aren't you gonna ask me why?
Heaven shakes her head.
Why? Because I have a new baby. All to myself now.
She eyes her belly.
That's right. I got a bun in the oven. Guess who the daddy is?
Heaven grins and shrugs.
Randall? God, you are no fun!
She leans toward her.
You should have been here, Heaven. You should have stayed in Winterow. You should have taken more interest.
Interest in what, Fanny?
Interest in your husband?
Fanny stares. Heaven cocks her head.
What does Logan have to do with any of this?
You don't? It's Logan who made me pregnant. That's what.
Heaven winces.
Yeah, I'm having your husband's baby, not you. I told you you would pay for the way you treated me. Life sure has a way of biting you in the ass, don't it? It smells great. You have a wonderful night, sis.
Fanny leaves. Heaven stifles sobs. She stumbles backward. She brings a hand to her forehead. She tosses a bag of groceries on the floor. She leans on the kitchen counter and bows her head. She looks around the house as she sobs. Later, celery and potatoes litter the floor. Heaven sits on the sofa.
Oh, what is that divine smell? Could it be that my wife is home and she's cooked?
He notices the spilled grocery bag.
Is everything okay?
She watches him, stone-faced. He fidgets.
Is it something with Tony? Company?
It's actually something with Fanny.
Fanny?
He blinks and shifts his weight.
What's the matter?
She looks at her wedding ring.
I think you know what I'm talking about.
She glares at him.
No, I really know.
She's pregnant, Logan. And I'll take your silence as a confession.
Of what?
That you made love to my sister.
Love?
He shakes his head.
It wasn't love, Heaven.
Don't play word games with me. Just tell me the truth.
He glances away.
She came over one night when you were at Farley. She kept telling me how lonely she was, pouring me glass after glass of wine, and asking me, aren't you lonely too? I don't know, Heaven. I can barely remember any of it.
You don't remember?
I was drunk. I missed you. It was a mistake, Heaven. A terrible, terrible mistake. One night. I'm sorry.
She grits her teeth.
Can you forgive me?
He paces toward her.
Will you ever be able to forgive me?
She stares at him. Later, she walks in the woods, alone. She makes her way toward a large tree with a small gravestone near its massive trunk. She steps closer to the stone, then stops and shifts her weight a moment before she falls to her knees and sits head bowed amongst the ferns.
Mama.
She is next to the moss-covered grave.
It's just, this is one of those times I could really use your advice. Part of me feels like my anger is justified. Because Logan, my husband, was with Fanny.
She lifts her gaze.
Fanny, of all people. But in truth, it's no different than what I've done. What I did with Troy. So how could I possibly not forgive him?
A tear runs down her cheek.
In fact,
By not being honest with him, I'm leaving. It may be worse.
Logan sits in the cottage at the dining room table. He wrings his hands, not seeing Heaven approaching in the yard. She walks onto the porch and slowly approaches the screen door. Logan jumps up.
Heaven, I will do anything.
Shh. I forgive you.
You do? Just like that?
Yes, I forgive you.
It will never happen again.
I know, but it happened. And it's over, but we have to discuss the consequence.
She blinks and looks away.
Okay.
She gulps.
The baby, Logan. We'll have to send money to Fanny so that the child can live well. And we all have to discuss as to what degree you'll be involved in the child's life. We'll figure that out.
Still can't believe how well you're taking all this.
I can't talk about it anymore, though.
She nods firmly. Behind her, through the mesh of the porch door, the forest is visible.
Okay.
He shuffles his feet and gestures to her.
Can I kiss you?
He ambles over to her. She turns her head to offer her cheek to him. She purses her lips.
So sorry, Evan. I want to make this up to you.
He attempts a kiss.
No, I...
She pushes him back.
I can't do this right now. But we'll make it through this. Okay?
Her eyes search his. Then she steps away from him and leaves. Later, Heaven sits with Fanny on her porch.
As long as you agree to remain silent about the truth of the father, we will cover all costs of the baby's medical needs during the pregnancy and birth.
Fanny raises an eyebrow.
As well as food and supplies once the child is born.
And what about me?
What about you? We're providing for the child and its needs.
Well, its needs include me. I ain't just some pincushion to prick and poke and forget about. As this baby's mama, I mean to be treated as a lady with class just like you. Don't forget, your man came to me because you weren't taking care of him and now there is hell to pay. I'm the one gotta live with a child now, ain't I? And what about Randall? I don't got time to go looking for a new man. Who will even want me now?
I'll tell Randall it's his. He wants kids, doesn't he?
And that's gonna cost you.
Fanny plays with her hair.
So what do you propose? How much do you want us to send you a month, Fanny?
Well...
She bites her lip.
I don't know.
Heaven raises her eyebrows.
15, huh? No. 2,000.
2,000 a month. Provided the paternity remains a secret and Randall believes he's the father.
Oh, that part costs another 500. Better make it 2,500, because, I mean, Randall kind of shoots blanks.
Well, then tell him it's a miracle. Make him believe.
Heaven grabs her purse.
2,500 a month.
Heaven stands to go.
Hey, you have always acted better than me. Even when we was all poor, you acted rich. But I know why. Because you were always jealous of me.
Of you.
Because Pa liked me, and not you. Pa held me. Pa kissed me. He treated you like you never belonged. Because your burden killed his precious angel. You killed your own mother. And you can't ever run away from that, Heaven. Never.
Fanny folds her arms. Heaven turns away from Fanny and starts to go when her face softens.
I forgive you.
She pauses, then spins around to face Fanny.
You might not know it yet, but I know it better than anyone. That rage comes from the pain that Pa caused. The Pa who you claimed loved you so much. And Tom was right. Not being able to forgive has turned me ugly inside. It's the same rage that's making you ugly.
If I'm so ugly, how come your husband
keeps
begging?
You've done a horrible thing to me, Fanny. But by forgiving you, you're no longer able to keep me prisoner. Neither is Pa. So I'm ready to honor Tom's dying wish and forgive you. Forgive Pa. Forgive myself. So thank you for this.
A smile spreads across Heaven's lips as she turns to walk away. She leaves Fanny open-mouthed. Later that day at home, Heaven sits at the dining room table and writes a letter. Logan runs up the porch steps and opens the screen door.
How'd it go?
It's all settled.
Heaven puts down her pen.
That's great.
Logan pulls out a chair and sits. He notices the letter.
What's this?
It's a letter to Pa. I've finally forgiven him, Logan.
Heaven, that's huge.
I know. And I think Tom would be really proud of me. I was just inviting Pa to come visit, if that's all right with you.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Good. It all feels so...
Her eyes search.
So...
She gags and runs to the kitchen sink. And vomits. Logan watches as she brings a hand to her mouth. Then, at the doctor's office...
Congratulations.
Heaven! This is amazing! We're pregnant!
He embraces her.
You've made me so happy.
Concern fills her face as she hugs him.
We're having a baby!
She smiles at him. A heavily pregnant Heaven brings juice to Grandpa.
What a wonderful day, huh? Heaven's got a brand new grandbaby coming, just for me and you, Annie. And what with Luke coming down from Florida for a visit, well, we're just so happy.
Well, I'm happy you're happy, but Luke Castile has already canceled on us twice. So let's not get our hopes up.
My boy will be here.
Logan reads mail.
Who's Arthur Stein, Esquire?
Esquire, that's a fancy-ass name. It's probably for Heaven.
No, actually, it's for you, Toby.
Me?
Logan hands him the letter. Grandpa struggles to read it.
What'd you say?
He passes it to Heaven, who opens the envelope and slides the letter out. Grandpa chews as he waits. Heaven reads, and her jaw drops. Heaven glances across the table to Logan. He stands and goes to her.
What the hell's going on?
Heaven hands Logan the letter. She watches Grandpa as Logan reads it.
It says Luke and his wife were fatally injured in a car accident.
Heaven reaches for Grandpa's hand.
Well, are you okay? Are they gonna be here next week, or...?
Fatally, Toby. They didn't make it.
I'm so sorry, Grandpa.
After a moment, he looks down, then nods his head in Logan's direction.
That fancy-ass Esquire guy, he's mistaken.
I don't think it's a mistake.
He fights tears as he gazes across the table at Annie's empty chair.
Come on, Annie, let's go for a walk. Come on.
He pushes himself up from the table. Heaven knits her brow.
Please, just...
She sighs and gazes after him. Logan regards the letter. Heaven looks at it closer.
Drake survived.
Her brow furrows as she reads.
Who's gonna take care of him?
A few days later at Farthingale.
Drake, I thought it was important for you to understand that your family stretches far and wide.
What is this place? Museum?
No, this is the Van Vereen Tatterton home. And I brought you here because I want you to know you're a part of this family too. Yes, you're a Castile and we Castiles are from Winterell, but I'm a Van Vereen Tatterton on my mother's side. So as your half-sister, I need you to know that you belong in this world, too.
I do?
Ah, there they are, finally. Do you feel okay after your flight?
Yes,
So it is true.
I just wanted... we have a guest, remember?
Yes, I still think someone else could have taken him. You need to look out for your own now.
He is my own.
Luke Castile wasn't your flesh and blood.
But everyone thinks he was, which is why I have custody, so let's keep it that way. Understood?
Tony glances down.
No one can take care of that child the way I can. I've started the official adoption process, and family, as it turns out, isn't about biology. It's about being good to one another.
She grits her teeth.
I'm sorry.
He turns to Drake.
What a pleasure it is to meet you, Drake. Please, make yourself at home. Now,
My cook has made a cake to celebrate this happy event.
The happy event that is Drake's arrival, yes?
Yes, yes, of course. Drake, do you like cake, young man?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, let's go get some.
They head out. Later that night, Heaven steps on the tile in the dark foyer at Farthingale. She notices the French doors to Tony's study are open.
Tony?
She paces through the darkness, closer to the glass-paned doors with her hands on her belly. She pushes the door and enters the dark study. She spies the orange flames dancing in the fireplace. She runs her hand along the top of a leather chair. She clicks on a lamp and notices a paper on the desk. She regards the plans for the Tatterton Toys Winnerow factory and grins broadly. She spots a stack of mail underneath. She checks over her shoulder before picking them up and flipping through them. She stops at a letter addressed to Tony from J. Arthur Stein, Esquire, and studies it.
Why would you have a letter from Luke's lawyer?
Her forehead creases. Then she glances up and firelight reflects on her cheek. Later, Tony rushes into his study and Heaven sits in his chair.
Heaven, you're up late. Is everything okay with the baby?
How many secrets are you still keeping from me? Let's start with what I already know. You bought the circus that employed Luke, then turned around and sold it to him for a dollar, handing him his dream come true, only on the condition that he never speak to me again.
It's not like it sounds.
It's exactly how it sounds. Like how you single-handedly kept the man who raised me from coming to my wedding and kept me from ever being able to reconcile with him so that you could remain the only father figure in my life. You are a selfish, lonely, controlling, miserable, and evil pig.
Her eyes are wide.
Now, you are going to call Mr. J. Arthur Stein immediately to sign over all ownership of the circus to a trust in Drake's name. No conditions.
She drops the letter and steps away.
Of course, Heaven. But understand, whatever I did out of love for you.
She rolls her eyes and her mouth gapes. She spins around.
This isn't love. You let me believe that Luke didn't care for me, that he didn't want me, that he never wanted to see me again. Well, let the punishment fit the crime, because you will never see me again.
He frowns as she goes. Tony blinks and casts his gaze downward. He looks over at the roaring fire and moves to a table beside it. He takes the lid off his glass liquor decanter. Then he lifts the vessel to his lips and tips it back. Heaven sleeps in her mother's old room at Farthingale. Her bedroom door opens.
Lee.
Tony steps into the room.
Lee, my love. Are you awake?
Heaven's eyes open as he puts down his glass.
Tony?
He stumbles in, carrying a white gown.
I brought this for you. Will you put it on for me? I'll lie down with you, like I did last time you put it on. Do you remember?
Tony, I'm not Lee, and you're drunk, so you need to get out of my room.
Shh. I know you're upset about what Jillian said, but she's just jealous. She's jealous of your beauty. She's jealous of the connection that we have.
His hair is tousled.
She's jealous of your beautiful body.
Tony, I'm your daughter!
She kicks him. He falls.
And I'm pregnant!
She boots him in the back.
How could you?
She kicks him again.
You're an animal.
She tosses the gown.
I'm going back to Winrow and never coming back here again.
After she goes, he brings the gown she threw at him to his nose. He closes his eyes and inhales deeply.
I'm so glad you're home to help plan the party for the workers.
Logan faces away from her.
The factory is such a huge deal for this town.
He gazes out the window.
The party needs to be spectacular.
He licks his lips.
I'm thinking black tie, string quartet, servants, and maybe we can even get some foie gras.
Are you even hearing yourself? You're sounding more and more like Tony.
Is that such a bad thing? He's a classy guy.
Look, I just think something that exclusive will alienate the Hillfolk. And we should have a party that celebrates them and their culture. The whole reason why these toys are being made in the first place.
You're absolutely right. I don't know what I was thinking. I'll call Tony and make sure he's okay with everything.
No. No, you won't. He'll be okay with whatever I say.
You don't want to involve him at all?
Nope.
She smiles tightly. He drops the phone. Logan grimaces.
Why have you been so harsh towards Tony lately? I mean, I know he can get on your nerves, but he's done so much for us.
He shrugs. She looks away and shakes her head. He observes this and steps toward her.
Did something happen?
She gazes at her hands.
Well, you could say that. When I was at Farley, he crept into my room and tried to touch me.
What? He's your grandfather.
Look, I'm fine. I fought him off.
Logan snarls.
That pig.
Nothing actually happened. He was just drunk and thought I was someone else.
Who? Jillian?
When I first introduced you to Tony's world, I told you, all that glitters is not gold.
He blinks and shakes his head.
I'm so sorry, Evan. I should have been there with you.
No, you were overseeing business, and I thought Drake might want to see Farthy. But we're never going back there. Ever.
Logan bows his head.
Why don't you try concentrating on any last-minute details we have for the factory party? And Logan, try to find someone else to model yourself after.
She kisses his hand. He turns to watch her go. That night, at the toy factory opening.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Tatterton Toy Party. Enjoy yourselves.
Drake plays a game.
And how are we doing over here?
Right, this is so fun.
She tousles his hair, and he resumes playing with a friend. Randall stands with Fanny and stares at heaven as she walks past. Fanny rolls her eyes, then levels her gaze at Drake. Logan spots heaven.
Hey, you hungry?
Logan holds a plate of food. Heaven grabs her belly.
Hey, Heaven, are you okay?
She looks up at him.
Yeah, I'm fine. I think I just need to sit down.
She goes to find a seat, and Logan follows. Fanny and Randall watch from across the room.
We should head home.
Yeah, it's past Drake's bedtime anyway.
They nod at each other. They stand and make their way through the crowd.
Thank you for coming.
A factory worker smiles at Heaven. Heaven looks at the empty table where Drake was playing.
Where did he get off to?
Drake?
They search the room.
Drake! Where'd he go?
Heaven glances around, open-mouthed. She gazes at his teddy bear, left at the table, and shakes her head.
I know where he is.
She clenches her jaw. Outside, Heaven's car rounds a corner and brakes. Heaven jumps out.
Where is he?
Fanny puts down her beer.
Fanny, how could you do something like this?
Oh, hi, Heaven.
Damn you!
Heaven pushes her.
Heaven, what are you doing?
Stop! Heaven,
Randall, get off!
You're
crazy! Where is Drake? Randall ain't gonna tell you nothing, Randall.
You two will have to work this out between you. But I will say, Fanny has just as much right as you do.
Oh, I have more right. Paul loved me more than you, and he would have wanted me to be a mother to Drake, not you. Not in a million years. You hated Pa, and now Drake knows that too. What have you been telling him? Oh, I told him everything. Told him what you are, and you dressed up as your mother to punish his Pa, and how it's your fault Tom was killed. He thinks you made his Ma and Pa go to heaven. You've been telling him stories, trying to turn him against me? You can't do that. You can't keep me from seeing him. You can't. I've called the police. They're on their way right now. Oh, that's just fun. Mm-hmm. We've already been talking to a lawyer. Says that Daddy never left a formal will specifying guardian, so I have just as much right to Mother Drake as you. Especially now with Randall and I getting hitched. We have a good and proper home for him. So I guess we'll see you in court. Don't do this, Fanny. Don't use a child's life to fight your proxy war with me. I don't know what you're talking about. I just brought a child home to his own people, where he'll stay.
Randall stands between the women in front of a bonfire.
You've done it now.
She goes.
You've done it now. Everything's gonna come out in the open.
Can't wait.
As your lawyer, I need to tell you that you need to be prepared that this court case is going to air all your dirty laundry.
Whatever it takes, Miss Lakewood.
I think we need to take a moment to consider if this is our best course of action.
Would you just man up and stop acting like Mini Tony?
Well, I hope you're right. I just don't think it'll be very comfortable for us if our entire personal life gets aired out in front of the entire town. It might shock people. It might hurt people.
Like who?
Well, my mother, for example.
Well, you weren't too worried about your mother when you were screwing Fanny!
Ms. Lakewood eyes them. Heaven smiles.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I just need to be clear to both of you that nothing matters more to me than getting Drake back.
Heaven glares at Logan.
Be seated. Court is now in session.
Your Honor, the prosecution calls Fanny Castile Wilcox to the stand.
Ms. Lakewood sits. Across the aisle, Fanny stands in a pantsuit with a scarf tied around her waist to accentuate her full pregnant belly.
It's not too late to give up.
Fanny eyes Heaven.
This isn't a game, Fanny.
Of course it is.
Fanny backs away from her, then steps up into the witness box and smiles at the courtroom before she sits down. Logan watches from the gallery. Heaven heaves a sigh.
Mrs. Wilcox.
Fanny nods.
How long have you been married to Randall Wilcox?
2 days.
She blows him a kiss.
Did you marry Randall Wilcox quickly before the court date, only so you would appear to have a proper home for Drake?
If you're trying to say this is a phony marriage, it ain't. Randall and me figured it was time to tie the knot, and we do have a proper home. You can have a proper home without being rich as heaven, can't you?
Ms. Lakewood suppresses a chuckle.
Mrs. Wilcox, how did you come to have Drake in your home?
Come to have him? Well, I picked him up and took him there. From the Willie's factory shindig. Heaven and Logan were off partying. Wasn't no one paying attention to little Drake?
You just picked him up without telling anyone.
Lakewood glares.
Well, he's my brother. And didn't no one ever talk to me about flying him to a castle in Boston? Trying to lure him with fancy toys and a fancy life? Money shouldn't have anything to do with what makes the best home.
Your witness.
Ms. Lakewood smiles at opposing counsel and takes her seat.
Mrs. Wilcox, this baby you're carrying, whose is it?
It's his, Logan Stonewall.
Logan's mother cringes.
He made me pregnant.
Mrs. Wilcox, did Randall know that Logan Stonewall made you pregnant and has been paying for all the costs before he married you?
Fanny cocks her head.
Yes, he did.
Randall shakes his head.
And is this your first child, Mrs. Wilcox?
Nope. The Rev knocked me up. He convinced me to keep it so he and his wife could raise it as their own since she could never have kids. He said he'd pay me for the baby, and I accepted his offer. Then, later on, I changed my mind. I wanted it back.
You say you wanted it back?
Sure thing. Heaven came, visited me in Nashville. I was a bit older then, and I'd realized my mistake. I asked her to buy my baby Darcy back for me from the nasty Rev. And she wouldn't do it.
Fanny's lawyer turns to the gallery.
And why not?
Because she has hated me. Ever since she found out she had filthy rich relatives that would get sick at the sight of someone backwoods like me.
Fanny pouts.
She cut me off.
Courtroom spectators chatter.
No further questions, Cheryl.
She is killing us. You're gonna have to bring him in.
Heaven considers, then shrugs.
What?
Heaven sits back and glowers at Fanny. Later, a man wearing a wedding ring and a religious collar unbuttons his suit jacket and takes the stand.
Reverend Wise.
He nods at her.
Was Mrs. Wilcox's accusation true? Did you father her first child?
He clenches his jaw, and after a moment, he nods.
Yes.
Fanny grins.
And in a way, I am thankful, should be relieved of the secret's burden.
Reverend Wise, did you seduce Fanny Castile?
Me seduce her? No, ma'am, I did not. No one ever need go to the trouble of seducing that wicked, sinful girl. For she did steal into my bed with her lewd, naked body pressed against me.
Liar! You bought me like Mrs. a slave when I was just a kid for $500 from my daddy. You thought you could do whatever you wanted with
Mrs.
me.
Wilcox.
Come into my room, sit on my bed, talk to me, stroke my hair, stroke other things.
Mrs. Wilcox, that is enough. Another outburst and you will be taken in contempt.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
Randall hides his face.
Proceed, Reverend Wise.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, I have never claimed to be anything more than an imperfect vessel for the Lord. A vessel of flesh and blood. But the devil is in that one, and that devil, sitting right there, did very craftily find a way to pierce the armor of my faith.
And what would you say to someone who says it's your word against hers?
Well, I would say is to look at her career choice in Nashville after she left us.
Her career choice?
Whore! She was a whore! Her old landlord called to inform us that she was caught in the act of prostitution several times!
Did Fanny have any other options besides selling the child to you?
Why, yes, ma'am, of course she did. She could have kept the child. She could have insisted that I help support her and the child.
But she didn't, did she? So why do you think she didn't want the child?
Because she only wanted the pleasure. The sinful pleasure and none of the responsibilities.
Lakewood nods.
No further questions.
Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning, 9 a.m.
I'd say round one is over, and it was almost a knockout.
Lakewood squeezes Heaven's shoulder. Fanny scowls at Heaven. Heaven looks somber as she watches Fanny turn to leave the courtroom.
Thank you for seeing me on such short notice. Fanny's lawyer called me. He was meeting her today after court, explaining she would most likely lose custody.
They sit in their living room.
At which point, she revealed, in a manner illustrating she did not understand its significance, that Luke Castile was not, in fact, your father. She told him that your real father was Tony Tatterton. Apparently, she has a letter from your late brother Tom, in which you confided this information to him.
Heaven bows her head.
What? No, Tony. Tony is her step-grandfather.
Heaven peeks at Logan. Lakewood shrugs.
Well, is he your father?
Heaven nods and bows her head. Logan's mouth falls open.
What does this mean?
It means, Mrs. Stonewall, that you have no blood relationship to Drake Castile. Whereas Mrs. Wilcox does. Case closed. She will be awarded custody as soon as court is back in session.
Heaven's eyes tear up. Later that night, Heaven knocks on Fanny's front door. Fanny stands behind the screen.
The lawyer says they ain't to talk to you or anyone till court tomorrow.
Yeah, well, we're not going to court tomorrow.
Fanny stares at her.
Can you please let this pregnant woman in so she doesn't freeze?
Fanny does. Heaven steps inside. They sit at the kitchen table.
Where's Drake?
Fanny gazes down.
In his room? Yes, he's got his own room here, too.
She looks at her hands.
Where's Randall?
Gone.
Happy? The way he was talking, he'll annul the marriage just like you wanted.
I didn't want that. I didn't want any of this.
Fanny does not look at her.
With custody of Drake and a child on the way, you'll be taking care of two kids all on your own.
Fanny turns to her.
You think I can't handle it?
Oh, I'm sure you can. But is that something you really want to do?
What did you come here to tell me, Heaven?
Heaven blinks back tears.
I came to make you an offer.
Fanny's face softens.
Okay. What kind of an offer?
I will give you $1 million if you give me custody of Drake.
Fanny leans back.
Well, I'll be. High and mighty Heavenly has stooped to the very same thing she held against Pa, trading money for children.
Fanny shakes her head.
The very thing that you are so angry about, that you went to take revenge only to get Tom killed instead. This is your offer?
Heaven gazes upward.
Yes.
Her chin trembles and her eyes are glassy with tears.
Wow.
Fanny wipes a tear.
Sure, I want $1 million. To get a taste of how you live in that castle of yours. But you really think this is just about money for me?
Isn't everything about money?
This has always been about love, Heaven. Don't you think I want that too?
Heaven's jaw drops.
Men have always loved you, Heaven.
Fanny bites her cheek.
Not me.
Her chin puckers.
Not even Randall. Just some nice guy who thought he knocked me up.
Her crooked smile fades.
You know, I even tried calling Pa a few times myself in Nashville. He only ever asked about you. I thought maybe he'd ask his own daughter if she wanted to come live with him and his new wife.
Fanny stares off.
No.
She sways slightly.
My big sister, up in her new castle, did she want me? No.
Fanny.
Heaven shakes her head.
Annie, you can't force people to love you. You can only trust that it'll happen naturally. And you're gonna have a baby. Who will love you no matter what.
Heaven nods.
And you love your baby. But I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for everything that I've done.
Fanny turns to her.
I should have fought harder to get Darcy back from the Reverend, and I left you in Nashville. I did. I left you, and I was just so caught up in the drama of my own life that I ignored you for so long. And I'm sorry.
Fanny starts to cry. Fanny closes her eyes and sobs. She nods, then clenches her jaw.
I'll take the money.
Oh, thank you.
You can have a drink. It's better this way. And it's better for us. Turns out, we aren't even related one little bit.
And yet, somehow,
Heaven holds out her hand.
We are sisters.
Fanny takes it. Then, in a hospital nursery, two newborns swaddled in white are side by side. Back at the cottage in Winnerow, Logan opens the passenger side door for Heaven, who emerges with a bassinet. She smiles at Logan.
Thank you.
Grandpa, Drake, and his chaperone wait on the porch.
Hi, little Drake. I missed you so much. Did you miss me?
Drake nods.
And this is your new little niece, Annie. Can you say hi?
Hi.
Fanny carries a bassinet.
And this is your new, cousin? Should we go with cousin? Your cousin, but her half-brother. It's complicated. Anyway, this little guy here is Luke. He's older than Annie because I pushed him out first.
Here you go.
You want to come say hi? Look at him. Isn't he beautiful? Are you guys going to play together?
Alone inside the cottage, Heaven lifts baby Annie out of her bassinet and cradles her. The baby is swaddled in a pink blanket with a pink cap on her head. Heaven notices a box on the kitchen table. She walks closer to inspect it. Logan enters. Heaven nods at the package.
What's this?
That is Annie's first piece of mail.
He uses a key to open it.
Oh, wow.
Luke shakes packing peanuts off the small cottage as he lifts it from the box.
What an interesting gift. So detailed. Somebody put a lot of time into this.
He opens it. Two figurines are inside.
There's no note or letter to say who it's from, though.
Heaven's eyes fill with emotion as he closes it.
Maybe Tony got somebody to make it as some sort of apology.
She smiles.
Maybe.
Logan!
Logan looks over his shoulder.
I love you.
Logan heads out to find Heaven looks at the cottage and leans into Annie.
Your father made that?
Heaven beams, then turns away from it and rocks her baby.
Life is complicated, baby Annie. More than anything, I just want you to be happy and to know you have a place where you belong and to have a wonderful and peaceful life.
Heaven smiles as she watches her sleeping newborn. Then she lifts her head and her smile fades. Final credits. Described video by Descriptive Video Works. Executive producers Cindy Harmon, Alan Harmon, Arnie Zapersky, Rick Nish, Fernando Jev, Jane Starts, and Dan Angel. Written by Scarlett Lacey. Based upon the novel by V.C. Andrews. Directed by Paul Shapiro. Starring Heaven, Annalise Basso. Tony, Jason Priestley. Jillian, Kelly Rutherford. Logan, James Rittinger. Troy, Jason Cermak. Fanny, Jessica Clement. Luke, Chris William Martin. Tom, Matthew Nelson Mahood. Drake, Sebastian LaRue. Randall, Kurt Zarka. Lakewood, Nicole Oliver. Reverend Wise, Todd Thompson. Grandpa Toby, Duncan Fraser. Copyright 2019, Fallen Productions ULC. All rights reserved. Really Real Films, Neshama Entertainment, Mar Vista Entertainment, Chorus Studios. This has been a presentation of Lifetime.